hello, hello, guys, and you're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I am thrilled to be podcasting with Botox Josh. You'll find him on Instagram at Botox Josh. Hey.
Hey. How are you?
I am great. Can you hear me well?
Absolutely. Some good old country love from Tennessee straight your way.
I love Tennessee. In case you didn't know, I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee for quite a few years.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Hey, I feel like we're family already, right?
I know. And for my listeners out there who don't know you, tell us just a little quick blurb about who you are. What makes you Josh?
Alrighty, so I'm Josh Davis, better known, I guess, as Botox Josh on Instagram. I am a registered nurse and nurse injector here in good old Nashville in Franklin, Tennessee. As you can hear from my accent, don't hate on me too much. I know it's very country, but it's fine. grew up and born and raised in East Tennessee on a farm of all places. Moved to Nashville back in 2003, went to Vandy for music, went to Belmont for nursing. Been in critical care, all that stuff, all the way up to my aesthetic journey started 7 years ago. And 4 years ago, started my own practice, Davis Aesthetics, here in Brentwood, Tennessee. And it's been just a fun journey. It's a cool industry to be able to kind of meld the art side of the music with the fun science side of nursing. It just kind of fit with me. So aesthetics is my game. I absolutely love it. And all about fun and fun times and real talk. So yeah, that's all about me.
So how many years have you been a nurse in total?
So going on 10 years. It's crazy.
Goodness. Oh my gosh. And you've been injecting for the last like
seven
out of 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it takes a long time to be a good injector, and people out there don't really realize that. They sort of think that you can just start injecting, and many nurses who are untrained think they can do a weekend course. And just go work at Laser Away and get like the 2 month intro and be like, I'm certified. So what do you think of that comment?
I get it all the time. And I love me some nurses, but let's get real for a second. I get flooded all the time asking, oh, I want to go to nursing school and be an injector and all this stuff. Or like, I want to get into injectables. Like it's the new beauty thing to do. It's like, it's a fashion trend. And I typically don't respond to a lot of it because it just gets overwhelming. But to me, there's so much more. If like to any nurse looking to get into injectables, if you're going to nursing school just to become a nurse injector, you're going into nursing for the wrong reason, I think. You kind of have to pay your dues a little bit in this. My foundation of critical care, trauma, multi-specialty critical care, cardiac critical care really trained me to get my foundation of nursing down. It trained me to handle tough situations. It trained me to pay very close attention to detail. Mm-hmm. It trained me to have an eye for things, to be able to look for like the moment little tweaks of like, is this patient kind of crump or something go wrong? And it really set a foundation that just kind of, when I got into aesthetics, I had the knack for it. That's kind of one side of things, but then there's another side of things. There's an art to it. And you kind of, in my opinion, either have it or don't. And there's some that like hop into it and they realize that they don't have the skill to it, or it's like, whoa, this looked fun, but then there's a lot more to it. Like, I mean, it is a medical procedure at the end of the day, and you have to take that seriously. And sometimes the arts, I mean, to do a set of lips, you know, I mean, your work is impeccable, but it takes an artistic eye for that. And sometimes people get shocked when they get in it and they're like, this is hard. And oh, it's not just this beauty fashion trend. So really, I'd say just get to the root and like, get in nursing because you want to be a nurse and care for people. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you can get a job in derms or plastic, it's rough. It's like finding the needle in a haystack on some of these jobs. But you got to pay your dues first. But really, you evaluate why you're wanting to do what you do. And then by all means, go on the journey. But it's not just a fashion beauty trend. It's medical procedures, and you got to take it seriously like that. And there's a lot more to it than just, oh, I'm sticking a needle in somebody's faces.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense.
It's not a trend, and it's just because it's popular now. This is an industry that's been around for 100 years. So beauty and aesthetics and the principles that we learn are so like entrenched, and there's science involved, and there's definitely passion. If you don't have the passion and you think you can inject because you've done a little, then you definitely are missing the point. Like you need
1,000%.
The more I learn, the more I inject, the more scared I get And the more I think that of all the potential harm that we can do and all the necessity to be super careful. When you're young and you're cavalier and you're a cowboy, you think you can do everything, and then you don't. You don't. You really learn that the skill level and the need for constant education and maintenance of education.
So true. And it's you're that rock star cowboy until you get thrown off that horse for a hot second, and you kind of have
and
your
you will.
Crap moment.
And you will. Oh, you will.
It's not if, it is when. And I mean, I just recently, you know, I've had, you know, my first filler complication here recently in 7 years, and I've had a great track record. But the thing is there's two sides to being a great injector, and it doesn't matter if you're a nurse practitioner, PA, doctor, anything. There's one side to being a great injector with getting training beyond belief and knowing your facial anatomy, and there's so much to it, and knowing your tools and your toolbox and getting the training to be a great injector and doing great work. But then there's also the other side to being a great injector, to knowing how to handle your stuff, and when stuff goes wrong, when shit hits the fan, like, you got to know how to, take in charge of it.
And you have to not deny that a problem is happening, because often other injectors will tell you, oh, it's just a bruise and don't worry and watch it. And then everything's getting destroyed on your face.
Uh-huh. And so you got to take that seriously. It's not all glitz and glam and selfies and like all this stuff. And like, I'm going to be putting big lips and all that stuff. There's a side to it that like, should make you get a little nervous. And the moment you stop getting a little nervous is the moment you need to get out of it, you know?
I totally agree. And I think patients need to really look for that injector who has the skill set. And you don't have to be a board certified plastic surgeon to do injectables. I was actually trained by some really amazing nurse injectors.
And let's start the conversation that we need to have in the industry and get rid of this stigma and stuff. And it's like with what you were going through and saying, like, you know, how like you post videos and like your account and all these accounts that like I can go and I can become a better injector by learning these little tidbits. Like I love Lori Robertson. Oh my gosh, the injection expert. Like I learn from her all day. Like I love watching techniques that you do and how you explain things and everything. I'm learning, I'm becoming a better injector. And in a community to where it's kind of a gray area in the med spa and in the aesthetics industry. And it's a great area, but it's also kind of a scary area with med spas popping up all over the place. And I'm in the mentality that instead of like keeping your secrets, like, oh, I've got my Botox Josh like lip technique. No, it's like probably standard what a lot of injectors do. I may have a certain way I do it, but I would rather share what I know and make an injector that's new or experienced a better, safer injector, and vice versa. Me learn from all these people, you all, and it doesn't matter who you are, learn, because when we do that, we better each person in this industry and get rid of this competitive mindset, we make the industry stronger. And it's harder for the boards if they try to tighten up laws for, you know, just in Texas, they just tried to take injection rights away from nurses. And it was interesting because we're like, that they can push all these crazy drugs that could paralyze you and all these things in a hospital, but we can't push Botox, you know, what's going on? But when we all bond together and we all create a safe and strong community, it just makes the industry stronger and better. And that's what I'm all about. And I'm so happy to hear a really well-known doctor saying this. Like it's so empowering, and it's so I value that. And I'm sure I speak on behalf of a lot of nurses when I say thank you for that. Like that is, it's huge and it's much needed.
It is. And I think like I want beauty to be democratized. I want everyone to have access to beauty. And obviously I can't inject the whole world. So I need to pass on my skills and my knowledge, and we all grow. But
there's plenty to go around. We've tapped into what, 5% of the market? I'm like, honey, there is plenty enough at the table to eat for everyone.
There is plenty. But don't be learning all your techniques on YouTube and Instagram, because other pet peeve is I will get direct messages and DMs from people who are like, and how do I dilute and exactly what size needle and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you need to, and questions that are quite embarrassing, like, have you ever opened a textbook or, you know? So.
Right. Have you ever stepped foot in like a real training, sweetie? Like,
I know. Like, terrifying. Would you like to scary. Not learn from your DMs? Like, please read a book. So,
you know, and like it's, and it's not just this one stop shop. The people think like you kind of went on to, like, we always think, oh, I'm going to take a course in the weekend and I'm going to become a master injector. Honey, that does not exist. Mm-hmm. And if you think, and I think that happens a lot, and that's why we see a lot of the complications, or we see kind of some, the bad before and afters because people take that one course and they don't take it further. It's always evolving. Like, it's like technology. Like, you get an iPhone and it's already obsolete the next day.
Yeah.
And it's, you've got to get in. Like, I take it a chance, like, and anybody, get in front of people, like, connect with people, reach out. A big thing was, is being afraid to, like, connect to, like, the some of the big names, like you, and, you know, and the beauty nurse is one of them. I mean, I was terrified. I was like, oh God, they're not going to talk to little old me. But, like, oh, yeah. Reaching out, train with people, yeah. Get in as many trainings as you can, because you're the biggest investment for yourself. And if you don't do that, if you just think of one little thing's coming, honey, we need to read a little book of the truth and find out that's not how it goes.
Yeah, I learned a lot actually in the beginning of my career from doing observations in people's offices and watching how they did things. And you learn a lot just from watching how people's hands move and their routine. So do reach out and try find mentors if you're in the field. And it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. But so,
and once you've kind of mastered those, that the fundamentals of it, then it's easier to kind of take a look at a video and be like, oh, I see what they did there. Because you have a good, deep understanding of the anatomy and like what they're doing. And you've been there, done that, got a t-shirt, maybe not liked it a few times and trial and error, and you're fine. But not your foundation. YouTube.edu should not be the where you go.
I know. But I am starting actually a Mastery of Aesthetics online course. So I do have my Master Injector course. But yay. But like you said, it doesn't end there. It's not just the do a one-day course. It's like do that, understand the spectrum of what our field is and what the tools can do, and then go online and have this whole library of videos and knowledge base articles.
Yeah.
And watching me do it and talking through the little fine points of it and do it from the beauty of your own home. So that's one of my goals this year, is to get that all rolling.
And oh, I love that. That's going to be epic. Yeah. Oh, and so much needed. That's going to take
right?
off, honey. Be prepared.
I know. Well, you help me. I'm going to get you in a video. When you come out here, what is your favorite toxin to do lately? Do you have a favorite?
Don't let the name fool you. Botox Josh, actually, the name came from when
it
I first started.
It should be Xeomin Josh, should it be?
Or I know. Dysport they, Josh. They try it, right? They it started as a nickname because there was two Joshes in of the place where I first started. So I come in, they're like, oh, you're the Botox Josh, and then this is like Hair Josh, and I was like, yeah. And then every time I come in, they'd be like, oh, Botox Josh, all this stuff. And so, like, literally, it just kind of kept up. So I was like, you know what? That's it. We're just going to run with it. And it kind of blew up. But I am a Xeomin guy. I absolutely love it. I believe in it. The science behind it is absolutely amazing. And I think sometimes people get misinformation out there, you know, from the companies, but I love science. And I love that science doesn't, it's hard to go against science. And the results, I just have gotten amazing results with it. I tend to get better results and longer results with Xeomin than I do any other neuromodulators. But I'm also a believer, like, I may love Xeomin, but you may love one thing or another. I look at it as water, and they all do the same thing. You just pick which one's your favorite and go with it. And there's advantages, you know. Yeah. So I'm a Xeo guy.
You know what? I am too, actually. I'm a Xeomin girl.
Yes.
The I have everything.
Honey, the X out. The
oh
X
my
out
God. X
haters.
Out the haters. Yes.
Oh, that campaign is brilliant. I love it.
I love it too. And we're going to talk about it when you come to LA in June. We have a haters campaign that we're kind of.
I'm a little jealous, though, that they didn't ask me to be one of those ladies because, you know, I've got like testosterone. It's a mix of like testosterone and estrogen. I can do both.
I'm going to put you on the panel right next to me with your testosterone.
Right. But I want to be in those heels because I could teach those women a thing or two about walking in heels. And I want to shatter some stigma, honey. As a gay man, I want to shatter some stigma.
I
you
think
know,
you
on that
should.
End.
Yes.
I was like, I need to be in that next commercial in those 6-inch pumps.
Seriously. You know what? Yeah. They need to do a commercial that's a little bit more inclusive, I think.
Yeah.
But my fridge right now is filled with Xeomin. I do have Dysport. I do have Botox, of course, for people who must have brand name. But I kind of agree with you. I love that it's like 10 times more pure, so less accessory proteins. And your body doesn't need an extra dose of antigenic proteins to form antibodies and possible resistance. And like, I'm young, you're young, I'm going to use this product for the next 50 years. So why would I put accessory proteins in me if I didn't have to?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, when they, like, we talk, you know, accessory proteins, and the layperson maybe glaze over, they're like, I don't know what we're talking about. But, like, basically what we're doing is we're basically vaccinating people with Botox and Dysport. With those accessory proteins, they're not needed. Other companies will be like, oh, they fall off, but they're still getting injected. And they're causing neutralizing antibodies to form, which may end up causing resistance to Botox or Dysport. And with Xeomin, they've stripped away. It's the most purified toxin on the market. And there's zero antibody formation, which means it's always going to work for you. There's no resistance built up. And to me, it's like, you know, you've, and again, they're all water. You know, I look at them as all water. But like, you know, if I gave you an option to have a cup of tap water or a bottle of Fiji water, which one are you going to choose?
Fiji
I'm
water.
Choose Fiji.
Fiji.
Because
totally.
It's the purest.
Or Evian.
You know, it's,
Evian.
Or Evian. Love it. Mm. You know, I'm going to choose, or like, you know, tap water versus purified water. I want the purified water because it's not going to have whatever it is in the thing. So Xeomin is the best
alkaline.
Water for me.
I like alkaline water too.
Oh, yes, honey. Get that pH. So... But that's how I kind of look at it, and I educate people on that, and that it's a no-brainer for them. Like, yeah, I want the – we're all in a world about pure, and if you don't need the accessory proteins, why do we still have them?
A lot of people – every meeting I go to, people are like, Xeomin doesn't work, and it wears off so fast, and it doesn't last mm-hmm. as long. So there's sort of this bizarre gossip mill running around, and I think each person, it's so individualized. So someone else's Xeomin experience is not going to be yours. And I tell patients, try all the toxins, really. Mm-hmm. It's like Pepsi and Coke, and you got to figure out, drink it, see what suits you, and then stick to that. And also alternate. Like personally, I have used brand name Botox for myself, and I do mm-hmm. like it. And occasionally I'll throw it in the mix. I'll use Xeomin a couple times, and I'll alternate with some Botox. I kind of go back and forth.
Absolutely. So. And there's times like I'll do a lot of therapeutic Botox with dry needling and lidocaine and Botox and like trigger point therapy to help with migraine and all that stuff. And I sometimes prefer Botox for that. Mm. And, you know, it's just kind of like I like to look at it like at the end of the day, we're kind of all painters and you buy a Monet painting for or a Picasso painting for the finished product. You don't really care what paints he used as long as the outcome is great. For me, when I first started using it several years ago, it didn't work because I think we were doing it just like Botox and it's a little bit different of a product. And I think once injectors, they kind of retrained everybody, you know, reconstituted appropriate, adding a little bit more, you know, reconstitute with saline a little bit more to push it further in the muscle. And we got to do this thing called flip the vial, which we're going to mm-hmm. have, like, I think of the Missy Elliott song, put my syringe down, flip it and reverse it.
Yeah.
But once you do that, it's powder form and you set it upside down and I always let it sit for 5 minutes. Once I started doing that, the results blew me away. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of the results in people like Xeomin doesn't work or Dysport or whatever, I think it's sometimes lack of know-how and how to do it and how to like do it just right and reconstituting it appropriately, flipping it upside down because it's powder form, letting everything reconstitute for 5 minutes has been key for me. Mm-hmm. And when you do that and you learn how to use it, honey, the results. If Xeomin did not work, I would be out of job. Like
you'd be all wrinkly too.
Oh yeah. Like, honey,
wait, what have you personally had done? So you look smooth and flawless. So you've had
yes.
Botox.
So I'm really 86. But I look now. I've done I've had Botox before. And then switch to Xeomin. I actually use less Xeomin in my face and last longer than Botox personally for me. I also used to be a big boy. I was like 2 inches side of a circle. I was pretty big. And
I lost a lot. 2 inches side of a circle. I love it.
Like pushed me and I would roll. But I lost a lot of weight. And we know when we lose weight, it comes out of our face. And so like I had Prada and Gucci, my designer bags, under my eyes. And I had sunken in face. And so I've had cheek filler done a few times. I just recently was injected by, we all know her, Shelby Miller, and with my cheeks and did a really advanced tear trough training. Oh my gosh, it's changed my life. Like, look at the smoothness between those two. I mean, it's just this, you could drive a car right between my cheek and my eyes. And so I love the cheek and tear trough filler has absolutely been a game changer for me.
Which filler did you put in there?
So I've had Voluma in my cheeks before and Velour in my tear troughs, but kind of not injected those two until they kind of addressed some issues with Vicross technology. But recently I have injected Restylane Lift into my cheeks and boy, it is a game changer. Mm-hmm. And I had Restylane L in my tear trough and it is just, oh God, like these results literally after like the swelling went away, I looked and it just teared up. I was like, I mean, it's life changing. Like I can look in the mirror and not have to, you know, feel like I've got designer bags that I hate underneath my eyes. You know, like I don't look tired and it's been a godsend.
That's
everybody
awesome.
Thinks I've had my lips done, but God gave me these natural lips that the moment they go down, I am going to be plumping them full. Trust me. But
I volunteer.
God gave me these puppies.
I'll do your lips for you.
Yes.
I volunteer.
Done. Oh, that video is bound to be
Oh
hilarious.
my God, we should do a total
Yeah.
YouTube video. That would be so funny.
I'm a wuss, though. You're gonna have to knock me out. I'm gonna have to have some Valium. I'm gonna need the ProNox. I'm gonna need like an IV drip. Like, I'm the worst patient.
Just gonna give you a stick to bite on, that's all.
There you go.
Bite on this tongue blade, you'll be fine.
Yes, you got
That's
it.
so funny.
So, what's your favorite procedure? What you've had done? What's your favorites to do?
So I've had Radiesse done for my cheeks and actually by a nurse injector, one of my favorite ladies.
Yay.
And then she quit working for the company, so it's been a little while. So I did myself put some Restylane Lyft in my cheeks, and then I've had
Yes.
Sculptra, really nice Sculptra in my temples. Of course, the Emitter Botox for masseters. I really like it for face slimming and as well as for the brow. And
Game
under
changer. You look
eyes,
bae, girl. You look
yeah,
good.
under eyes every once in a while. So I think it's important, like about every 6 months, to look at your face and see where your volumes are changing. So I think I tell my
Yeah.
patients every 4 months for Botox and every 6 months for filler. And then we may not work on the same areas each time, but your face volumes will change every 6 months.
And I love that. I love that you're saying that because nothing drives me crazier when people be like, oh, you're getting one syringe of so and so, like let's say it's Voluma or whatever. And they're like, it'll last 2 years. And I'm like,
It does
oh,
not last
sweetie.
2 years, first of all.
No,
First of all,
no, it
I
does not.
really hate that they market it that way because I can't even
Yeah.
say that with any degree of honesty. It does not last 2 years.
It doesn't. It
Yeah.
lasts as the when people ask me, so how long is my filler gonna last? I'm like, as long as you maintain it.
What
Like,
I'm like.
and I'm like, that's it. And you know, for people like really, I love the fact that you just said 6 months because really at the 6 month mark, I like looking at it as like filling up a new Cadillac Escalade. It's going to be expensive, maybe getting it to full, but then as it you top it off when it gets 3/4 the tank
It's
and
not so
doing
painful.
that, no, getting that at every 6 months, it's like a little top off is the key. And I think the prime month to really do it. So I love hearing another person say that. Like,
Yeah, and I
it's
tell
awesome.
patients you're getting a 1 year product at 6 months, 50% of that is metabolized. And it, you know, so this is where don't wait for it to go down to zero. Don't you want to layer on top of what you have? So I like that strategy.
And it sets up unrealistic expectations in this industry, which is just we're full of it. And it people come all the time, well, I went here and I had this done, and they're like, it just didn't last. And I'm like, well, what did you have done? And they're like, well, I had a syringe put in my cheek. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about that. You know, and I explain them the science behind stuff and just how everything metabolizes and stuff. And once you really set up realistic expectations, your client has a deeper relationship with you. They're going to respect you more because you're being honest. And there's nothing worse than like if you're telling me a syringe, they're going to trust you that that's going to last 2 years. And when it's gone in like 3 to 4 months because you used like a fifth of a teaspoon in there, I'm
Yeah.
going to be pissed. I'm going to be knocking at your door and be like, hey, where's my filler? Where is my
Yeah.
filler? Hey, where are you at?
That,
You
as
know?
an injector, that took me a long time to realize because I sort of thought I was being nice by telling them, okay, just one syringe, because I was sticking within like an average person's budget. But then I
Yeah.
realized I need to really tell you what you really need so you understand the magnitude of what we need. And then you're not upset when one syringe doesn't fix the problem. So
Yeah.
I generally tell people, like, you know, one syringe per decade of how old you are to revolumize a face that's never had any
Oh, I
treatment.
like that.
Yeah,
That's
it's
cute.
easy. So you're 40, you need about four. And like, people are shocked. But when I do my face and I really take the time, it does take 4 to 6 syringes to just kind of
Yeah,
get things where
it
they need to
does.
be.
And we're
So.
an example that, like, you know, 4 to 6 syringes, we don't look unnatural. We don't look done. People are so terrified of that. And I'm
I
like, no,
know. I
sweetie,
do
it's
my
like.
best to not look like someone at an aesthetic meeting because sometimes. Sometimes the
Oh
audience
my
has a
Lord.
little bit of free access to fillers.
All I want to do sometimes is set up a Hylenex booth at these things and be like, sweetie, sit down. Sweetie, let's have a
I know.
conversation.
Like,
Let's
who let you
rehearse
do
some of
that
this.
to your face? Wait a minute, they were not
Yeah.
being nice to you.
Well, and it brings up too, like 2 points is like, as you're a new injector, I think people, what we do is we pocketbook diagnose people. Like we think like when they come in and we're just like, oh, one syringe. Oh gosh, they're going to be like, oh, they're going to bought that price. When really like, you know, we just pocketbook diagnose them when really they could have so much money you don't even know. When really they may be coming in and being like, I want to really look my best. And it's they're coming to you for the truth. Like, what is going to make me there? What's going to get me to my aesthetic goal? And when you pocketbook diagnose people, then you get in that one syringe mentality, which really at the end of the day may work for some, but like mostly it's not going to rejuvenate the face and get them to their goals. And they appreciate the honesty. And I think with experience and time, if you can stop pocketbook diagnosing and really set out treatment plans for people, they respect that more. And you'll be surprised at how much people actually accept what you recommend.
That's so true. I think that takes a
Yeah.
long time to realize that.
It does. It took me a hot minute because I pocket booked, and I'm in Williamson County where everybody's carrying around a Louis Vuitton, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh, they can't afford that. And I'm like, sweetie, honey, have you been in a Louis Vuitton store? Like, come on, Josh, get with the program.
You know?
That's so funny. How is aesthetics different for being a gay man? Like, what is the standard in the gay community? Or is everybody doing everything? Tell me a little bit about that perspective.
I think there's still a market for the gay community, for sure. We're like, you know, we've had a rough life. Mm-hmm. We have been, you know, there's been a lot of hate thrown towards our way, and good to see some things changing with that. But I think too, I see two sides to it. You know, there's an affluent gay community out there that does get injectables, for sure. But there still seems to be this, and I call to action the LGBT of America, LGBT plus, gosh, we got the alphabet now, and it's such a beautiful thing. I love it. Mm-hmm. Is I challenge call the
alphabet,
you guys,
calling the whole alphabet.
Yes, honey, calling the alphabet. Like, gay men, speak up about the procedures you have done, and let's get all these straight men that are too afraid that we're going to feminize them to get some Botox, get some filler, and to like stop the aging process.
Seriously, will you? Like, so you come to my office, will you sit in my chair for a video, please? Because like, so many men come in here, and none of them want to be on the page.
I'm like, who cares? It's like 2019, people, honey. Botox is not taboo anymore. Like, get over it. And we're not going to feminize you. And you know what? Like, get rid of this stupid word feminine. Like, it's okay to be feminine. There's power in femininity. Mm-hmm. And so we got to get rid of this toxic masculinity in the world, for sure. But we also got to like ease guys into this. So they're like, you know what? Hey, we can stop you from aging in this process. So like, even as like in the work world, you know, like guys, you know, as a CEO of a company, when you start to show signs of aging, they start to look for a younger person. It's just proven on that end. So if guys would, and I know I'm kind of getting back into the straight world, but like if the guys would learn that like, hey, you can get aesthetic work that's great and you look wonderful, and look who's doing it. The gay guys are doing this, you know, mm-hmm. and they look, I mean, everybody's like, the gay guys are so beautiful. And I mean, it's
they
true.
Are.
And like,
many of
they
them
take
are.
Care of themselves. Mm-hmm. So like, I think we're missing an opportunity to really tap into the gay community to be a voice for our mm-hmm. area or area of expertise. But then also I think it's also hard because a lot of the LGBT plus youth has been, you know, a lot of them were homeless. A lot of them were kicked out, you know, at a young age. They didn't get the advantage to go to college sometimes. They didn't get the opportunities that a lot of people did, which means their pocketbooks don't match up to a lot of the people that we see. So they can't really maybe afford a lot of the injectables that get expensive. Mm-hmm. But so I think, you know, part of the history of it is setting them up to where, like, it may be hard to go through that, partly because of some of the life stuff that's happened. But I've also had some people that's went through, lost family, was homeless for a hot minute. They went to college. They've been successful. They come in and they get the kitchen sink thrown in their face because they're a success story. So I think that we've got double duty. We got to get the LGBT in here. We got to get them to speak up about what they're having done because they look fabulous. And I always like, why is all the gay ones hot? Because we're getting filler, honey. It's called Botox and Xeomin and filler. We love it.
What percentage of your patients are guys versus women?
So I'm in a place called Tennessee, the Bible Belt Buckle.
Isn't that hard for you?
Oh, honey, that could be a whole 2-hour podcast, Lord, honey. But it's still a little taboo here for men to get done. It's the female thing to do. You know, I ain't going to do that females. I don't need that stuff. You get that country mindset. But then I'm like, oh, well, you're 50 and you have more wrinkles than my shirt. So, and they complain about it, but I'm like, you don't want to do anything about it. So I see quite a few men and it's starting to turn over here for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't see a lot of guys yet, but it's starting to turn over for
it's
sure.
It's the same in my practice too. It's still 90% women. And then the guys sort mm-hmm. of trickle in. They're either dragged in by their ear, by their wife, mm-hmm. or, right. or they're the smart ones that know that skin and skincare and like take maintenance matters. So
it's a cute interesting. Date too.
Yes.
My husband and wife duos that come in
they're
every 3 to 4 months.
I love them.
I'm like, and it's so supportive. Like, what I get a lot of the times that drives me crazy. Oh, my husband can't find out. Oh, my husband. I'm just like, sweetie, it's 2019. You're a strong, independent woman. I don't care what your husband says. Like, get your stuff you want to do. It doesn't matter, man's opinion. Do you. And but it, I just find it so funny when they just think that this repressive of taboo of getting work done by men, like,
And
you know,
also, why
on
is
the
your
female.
husband allowed to tell you what to do with your face and define how you should look?
Preach.
Why should you have to have cookie jar money that you hide from him? Like, really? Because you should be a boss girl who says, like, this is my face. I'm going to maintain it. And by the way, I've been maintaining it. That's how I look so good. Like, they don't even know that.
Oh, hashtag preach. That was like the gospel right there, according to Dr. K, honey.
That's
that was
right.
good.
That's right.
Well, and it's this whole, like, you know, like, we're going to have all these females look that look bae that going to leave all their husbands because the husband's going to look wrinkled and decrepit and their women going to be hot, honey.
That's
like,
right.
straight up.
That's right. I love that.
Yeah.
Where do you see aesthetics going in the next 5 years? And are you one other question. Are you planning to try the new tox, Juvo?
So I would be interested just to hear about it. Haven't been reached out to the company yet. So when I do, I love rep. So I love to like meet people and connect. And I always love to, I don't discriminate against anything because I think there's a place in our aesthetic toolbox for everything. So I'd love to hear what they have to say and the science behind it. And, you know, cause the new talk says, I want to see what all the hype is. Like, come in and teach me about your product. I want to learn.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to try it out for sure. And I think it's a wonderful thing because it's going to stop kind of certain companies from monopolizing the industry a little bit. It's going to give a little competitive pricing.
A little
and
shake
maybe
down.
Make it,
a little shake
honey,
down.
Ruffle the feathers of this industry a little bit. but it's going to, I think, open up a conversation to be able to make aesthetics maybe a little bit more affordable for people, which will be great. And I think that too, I think the history of or the future of aesthetics is it's just going to boom. We've just started, you know, we've just got the iceberg and we're just starting in it. And it's a beautiful field that I think is going to explode in the next 5 years. What I hope is that I think I like, you know, it's, I think we get a little bit more regulation to make sure that med spas that are popping up everywhere, make sure that we get kind of almost a standardization in training. So we're all safe and we get, make sure that these, you know, med spas, we have a certain level of standard of care and injection ability and education hours. I think that's huge as
that's
we move
my
forward.
Dream. My dream is to legislate that in California, yeah. at least like to have
Absolutely.
Mandatory requirements, certification, accreditation, like whatever level of injector and provider you are, but to do the coursework and have documentation and have a sticker you can put in the window that a patient knows you're safe.
Love that.
I want
and it
that.
Just makes and as a consumer, they know that like with 800 million things popping up, like that if we have a standardization with that, that they're safe. Like it makes injectable safe. And I think what we're going to see is this switch from all these, hate to say it, but there's really bad before and after photos of there really overdone. I mean, vagina lips, that's a thing right now. And they're awful. Like the lips walk in before they is with two sausages on the face. It's not cute on anyone. So I think we're going to go back to maybe a natural approach and a natural a look to aesthetics and beauty. And I think that's going to make more people not be afraid of aesthetics, which is going to cause the industry to boom as well, because we won't have these people. Don't make me look done. How many times do you have people, I don't want to look like I'm overdone or had work done, or I don't want to have duck lips. Like
I know. And
there
you're working with one syringe for their entire whole face. So I'm like, don't worry. We're barely going to, you know, you won't look overdone. Don't worry.
This is filler spit. That's all we put in. Like a little bit here or there.
But I think, one I syringe, which one wrinkle would you like me to fill with?
Right. <that? laughs> <You know? laughs>
So funny.
Yes. So I think that's going to be the shift that happens. And I think it'll be a beautiful thing for our industry too.
It will. I noticed one thing, like being on Instagram and just being super busy in general, I have seen a rash of patients. And I just want to be really transparent about this because I feel that many injectors and doctors out there and nurses are affected by this problem where people feel that they should go publicly and basically threaten you and basically extort you and blackmail you on Yelp, as well as other public places where they post reviews about your work. And I feel very much like it's a violation of the patient-physician relationship. Like if you have a problem with your work, you have a written invitation to come back to my office anytime for an office visit, which is the right way to do it, and show me the problem and give me the ability to like address the problem and correct the problem and bring us all to a happy place versus like immediately write a bad Yelp review. and try to demand your money back. And it's just very thinly veiled blackmail and extortion, I feel. Have and you had this experience?
Yes, very little great, you know, very graciously on that end. But I did have a little stint. There was several places here in Tennessee that were getting these bogus reviews. And people were going on, and people that we didn't even know, it was happening to several people, several of the big, you know, big places around here, that these reviews would pop up on Yelp and Facebook of like, we didn't know these people. They weren't clients of ours. And you got to be careful what you say on there because you don't want to break anything HIPAA or do a violation. But these bogus reviews, and then Yelp won't take stuff down. And I'm like, well, this is absolutely bogus. It's not a true reflection on my business, and it's not fair for this to be up. If you come in and you are absolutely dissatisfied with what you had happen with me, I want to know about it. And then absolutely give me a 1-star review, because I don't take that as a hit on me. I'm not perfect. And sometimes I'm going to mess up and I want to know how I can improve. But if it's a bogus review, or in your the cases that you're saying, like, it's just, it's unethical, it's unprofessional. And if we're going to give the courtesy to you to, like, we have a right, you know, and a standard that we're going to give you the best of care when you come into the office, the best aesthetic outcome and all that stuff. But I think the consumer also has a little bit of a right to us to, you know, if things happen, because with everything that we do, there's risk associated with it. And, you know, we can, you can inject all your life and not have an issue, and then you can have a vascular occlusion. It's going to happen to everyone. And when that happens, it's okay for it to happen, because it's a risk of any of these procedures. But you have, like, there should be a relationship that, like, when it does happen, you come to us and give us the right to reverse it, give us the first priority to do what's right and handle it, because it is a risk. Yeah. I tend to go into my
or at least let us look at it. So often people don't have the common sense, like, I'm going to post a Yelp review, and okay, how about just phone the office and come and show me so I can address your concerns, or, you know, make things better. But I think that, honestly, I really feel that when you're in the public eye, people think you're an easy target. And, like, I have had people virtually say, like, if you don't give me a refund, I'm going to put up a bad Yelp review. And it's like, that you had a great result. Here's your before and after. Look at how good you look. And, like, no, I just need a refund. So, I mean, we're placed in this position where you can't say a thing on the internet because you get you violate privacy. And then you can't even tell Yelp that this is some competitor that wrote this review. This patient name is not even in my database. And then Yelp doesn't listen. And so you're really stuck in this hard place of, what does a doctor, what does a nurse do? You are reputable, credible. You worked your whole life. You're passionate about what you do. It's just like me. And it's like this stabbing thing that I just think it's a violation of, like, the responsibility that you have as a patient. Patients have responsibilities too. So I'm just putting this conversation out there.
The law is now, like, there's a few incidences where med spas or, like, some doctor's offices actually took a stand. There was some Yelp reviews kind of extorting doctors to be like, I need a demand a refund, or they were going on there slandering their name and, like, really awful words.
Awful.
And they took it to a court of law, and the office won, and the patient got in trouble. Like, you're not protected. Like, think twice before you post a nasty review just to be a little snatch about it. Like, you know, like,
I had a patient who posted on Yelp that she said I used diluted Botox from Canada. And I was like, well, first of all, I'm a Platinum Plus account for Botox. I only use brand name Botox. And I interviewed the CEO of Allergan in my office. So I think you're pretty safe knowing that my Botox comes from America. But, like, it's a clear slanderous false statement. Like, can we not just be, like, anyway. She had to remove that. She had to legally remove that.
See? You know, be careful. And give us the right. Like you're saying, like, let us fix it, because we're not perfect. And if you're not happy with the result, don't tell everybody else. Tell the person who can make it right and make it great. You know?
Yeah, like, basically. I think that patients need to take care of themselves and understand that beauty is a process. And sometimes injectables take a little while to settle in. So, but I just really want to make sure we have an open conversation, and, you know, we're all vulnerable. I don't know about you, but I feel that this is a problem for people that are getting, like, slammed by Yelp. And what do you do about that?
Every day I straight up, like, every day I go into this industry, I treat it with respect. It makes my butthole pucker every day. I'm like, whoo, like, ooh, something's going to go wrong. Like, and if it stops making me do that, that I'm going to, well, you know, basically stop doing the injections, because it should, you should have a certain level, not of fear, but a certain level of respect. And, you know, it's very vulnerable. Things can happen. And, you know, it's like, I think the consumer needs to understand that on our end, like, we're taking the responsibility of doing medical procedures on you. Like, there's a level of respect for that. Like, you know, like, not like, I mean, if we're being negligent or, you know, do something, you know, that particularly harms them, then yeah, by all means. But like, come on, people, stop being nasty. Stop being that girl. Stop being negative Nancy or that Susan or Cheryl Sharon, you know, like, sorry for all those names out there, but I mean, you know, that's our standard.
No trolling, like, and no hating, basically.
Yeah. Oh, I'm king of troll patrol, honey.
I know. Like,
people will message me like, Josh, I have a troll. And I'm like, I'm there in 3 seconds. Hold on. Like, and I will shut it down. Like, no.
I know. There's two philosophies with trolls and haters. One philosophy is don't talk to them. Don't ignite the fire. Mm-hmm. Let it die down. It'll pass. And the other philosophy is call them out and show them what an ugly person they are. So what's your philosophy?
So I like to, sometimes it, like, it depends on the mood, I guess. So, like, it's very much like, most of the time I'm like, I'm not even really going to give you the prize of getting to me. Cause it's like, you know what, like my friend Sarah Berg says, my bestie injectee in Montana, she goes, bless and release. And it's like, you're just done and move on. Because at the end of the day, that random person that's sitting behind a computer screen and like, Florida surrounded by 800 cats that has no life, you know, their opinion doesn't matter. But then there's certain times where you're just in a mood where it just kind of hits you just right, where you're just like, you've had one of those days and you lay the straw on the camel back and it just kind of breaks. And you just want to snatch some edges and break some dishes. And so that's what, or like if it's really attacky and nasty towards somebody, then I go for it. One that I don't put up with is on a before and after photo, and somebody comes on there and makes a nasty comment about that person. Oh, that I won't stand up with.
Me neither. Like, don't you talk about my patients. Yeah.
Because they can see that.
Yeah.
And that's not okay. You're just being an ugly person. You are a mean girl. And this is not Wednesdays, and we do not wear pink. Like, sorry, honey. Like, it kind of depends on the mood. But most of the time, I'll have some tea time about it.
Well, tell me about your tea time. It's such a cute idea. When did you come up with that idea?
Well, so I've always been a tea connoisseur. I love it. My tea cabinet is actually, it's packed full. And I've always loved tea, the health benefits, but it just makes you feel good. It tastes good. And it was funny one day, like somebody just said something crazy. And I think it was one of those multi-level networking companies that I won't mention names. But they had just said something off the wall. And I was like, you know what? I've had enough. So I got on my little... my Instagram, I did a little story post on through there. And I was like, it's some tea time. We're going to have some tea time. You know, the Kermit the Frog, like little thing. And
Oh,
it's none of my business. So, and then just it exploded on there. People loved the moment that I stopped trying to be perfect on Instagram and I started being my authentic, unapologetic self. They loved it. I was terrified of being that. And so the moment that I started like kind of speaking the truth in the industry, debunking this stuff and like being like, no, that's garbage. No, this is not true. Stop behaving like that and being like that. It kind of turned into tea time and people started tuning in to Tea Time Tuesdays. And now it's about to turn into a podcast and a YouTube channel. And I am here for it.
Yeah. So good. I'm so proud of you for doing that.
Thank you.
What time of day do you do that? Noontime or?
So
tea time.
Usually it's in
tea time.
Tea time is usually tea time is usually like in about around 8:30 my time on Tuesday nights, and I'll have like special guest. You're gonna have to appear on it, honey. We'll have to do tea
I
time
want
with
to.
You.
Yeah, I'll be
we'll
on
have
your
to
podcast.
Pick a topic that you just are ugh about, and we will tear it up. And we just go live. It started out with just little old me doing stories on there that people would tune into and just laugh their butt off. And then now it's turned into like where I will plan out people and we'll find some bigs in the industry and like talk about like a problem or something that just, you know, lights their panties on fire. And we just tear it into over some tea.
Oh, let's do it. I would love to do that. I think that would be so
absolutely.
Fun. And it may be actually in June when you're here in LA. Let's
record
tea
an
time
episode
together live. And we'll do an Insta live and everything.
I love it.
And you can
done.
Introduce your
here
podcast. Okay. Yay.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
I would be honored, my dearie.
That would be so good. It's been
but
so.
We have to do it all in a British accent, though.
Okay, I'll practice.
Right. I may struggle with that one too.
I'm going to have to practice that. So I have a couple last questions for you. Are you a morning person or night person?
Oh God, not Al. Mornings and I do not get along. I
Me
am
too.
straight up a night person. You try to get me up in the morning time. We have a little, I always have those tummy troubles. And, you know, almost all these nurses, we all talk, you know, we talk about, we're going to talk about some IBS awareness, honey. And so it's, we've named her, and all Instagram knows her now. Her name is Irene. Sorry, Irene's out there, but she's a little finicky woman. She does not like morning times. And I just typically don't like mornings. I love mornings, but like, I love my bed more. And I just like sleep in, and I'm a much happier person. But then, like, nighttime, honey, I'm like, boom, that's when I get my best work done.
Maybe you should
Straight
do
up.
your office hours at night. That would be so
Oh,
fun,
people
right?
would love that.
Like start at like noonish and then go till 8 p.m. I bet people would love that.
That's what I do. My hours are 12 to 6. It's so bad.
Oh,
People are like,
really? How
Josh, I want
funny.
your life. And I was like, hey, you know what? Entrepreneur yourself and go for it. Set your work schedule.
Are you more of a green juice or Red Bull kind of a guy?
Whew, so caffeine almost puts me in the hospital, so I will take a
Oh,
green
green
juice all
juice.
the way. I get jittery with caffeine, Lord. You see me drink a cup of coffee, you're going to see me panic attack right in the hospital.
And are
Green
you
tea
more
is about as
yoga
medicine to
or
do.
CrossFit?
Oh, yoga all the way. I actually started doing yoga this year. I had a private yoga teacher come in, and I was like, oh, this is going to be peaceful. No, honey, I was more sore than doing a week's worth of weight training in a gym. I was like, what is this? I could barely lift my arm to do Botox injections. I was
Oh
like,
my
what is
God.
this?
How
And
funny.
but CrossFit, I would
I'd probably
break
die.
something or
I
pull a
know.
hernia. Yeah, no, ma'am.
Same here. Okay,
The CrossFit boys,
Game of
though.
Thrones or House of Cards? Or have you seen either?
House of Cards was great, and then it like kind of like went downhill a little bit
Yeah,
whenever that whole scandal. But Game of Thrones, honey, Jon Snow, or
it
the what's her name, Daenerys. Oh my gosh, I'd
Daenerys,
marry either one.
yeah,
I
she's
kind of want to
so.
be like the sister wife to them.
I
And that
love
last
it.
episode
Oh, and
three,
I
when
haven't
the
seen it. Yeah, don't tell me. Don't
oh
tell me.
no, we won't.
Okay.
Okay, no, I won't
Anything else
spoil
that you
it.
really love to binge watch that's super good that you should tell us about?
I'm Schitt's Creek is my favorite show besides Grey's Anatomy. Schitt's Creek is absolutely hilarious. Oh my gosh.
Okay, I have to look it up. I just recently watched all of Grey's Anatomy back from season one all the way forward. They were so cute in the beginning. It was so cute.
Yes, McDreamy. But Schitt's Creek is it's about this really rich billionaire family that basically, I think their accountant was tax evasion, and they lost everything. But they bought this town called Schitt's Creek as a joke. I mean, who does that? And they have to be exiled to there, and they basically have to live in a motel room. And it is they've got like Eugene Levy and Daniel Levy is on there, and I fangirl over Daniel Levy all the time. But it is the funniest thing. This rich family gets used to living in hillbilly town, and it is the funniest show. You will laugh your tail off and cry. Oh my gosh, it's so good. It's on Netflix and Amazon too, the newest season, but it's was a Canadian show. Oh my gosh,
Well, I'm going to
funniest thing
check it
ever.
out for sure.
Oh, totally worth binge watching.
And then what are your some of your favorite Instagram accounts that you think inspire you?
Well, I'm on one
besides
right
mine, of
now. I
course?
mean, you know. So my Instagram pods, like I've got this pod squad that has just supported me from the very get-go. Like it's a group of strong estheticians and some nurse injectors.
I love the master esthetician, by the way.
She's
Rhianne. Shout
Rhianne.
out to
She's one of my
Rhianne. I
besties.
love her. I
We're actually
invited her to
going.
come work at my office because I just loved her from Instagram. I
Oh
was
my
like, do you want a
gosh.
job in LA? And she probably
Yes.
thought, who's this weird girl inviting me for to
No.
come work in LA?
She is, we talk every day, and we're actually speaking at the skin seminar in Scottsdale, Arizona, in this month, and we're going to do a big skin better takeover together. I freaking love her. And she's like a walking esthetician textbook. If you're an esthetician out there, follow the master esthetician. She's brilliant. It's like I've learned so much from her stuff.
I do love her. Yeah.
Nurse injector accounts, Miss Sarah Berg is like one of my favorite people on this planet. Emily Keller Rockwell, this Miss Zio Queen, they're kind of like my posse. The beauty nurse, love her to pieces. I love Naomi. Oh my gosh, the list goes on. The LA facialist, there's so oh my gosh, like there's so many that I'm like
How
missing
about
out on.
non-aesthetic? Non-aesthetic.
Not oh, non-aesthetic. Let's see here. I really love following Jonathan Van Ness.
Oh,
Oh.
okay.
He is from Queer Eye, and
Yeah,
he
I
is like
know.
my spirit animal, and he just makes me uber happy. And he also lets me know that it is okay to have a little weight on you as a gay man. And mm-hmm. he rocks it. And I love it. He makes me feel better about myself. So JVN's a good one. I love anything funny. Like, I like to follow meme accounts that literally, like, make me, like, laugh. Like, inappropriate meme accounts.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, I will spend hours on Instagram laughing at them. Like, oh, my gosh. So good.
I love that. Yeah. Well,
what about you? Who's your faves?
Some of the ones you mentioned for sure. And then mm-hmm. I love Laura Devgan in New York. I love Botox Bunny is so cute. I love her.
Oh, my God. She's going to kill me. Botox Bunny, the injection expert. There's Botox Fairy. There's all these. I know.
It's like we're at the Academy Awards and we have to say all the people. So, okay, if your name's not on here, we're still thinking of you. And I love Naomi. I've loved her for a long time. And Skinny Confidential, she's really fun. Ingrid Delamar Kelly. Ooh. Yeah, she's nice. She's just random people that their accounts inspire me. And I feel like I go to watch them quite often and I learn a lot. And then I'm following some, I think I follow some people just for inspiration too. But I learn a lot through Instagram. I'm so happy I have joined it 2-3 years ago. And just crazy the success of it. The people who haven't joined, like, get on board, please, because you don't understand the power of Instagram till you do, right?
It's free business advertisement, and it makes the world. I mean, look, we're connected. And, like, all across the country, I have all these friends, an aesthetic community all across this country that, like, are now my tribe. And if it wasn't for, and it's free. Instagram is so easy to do. And I get like 40 to 50 new patients a month from it. Like, it may be small to like a lot of people. To me, that's huge. You know what I mean?
That's huge. And that is huge.
It's free. Like, and it's fun.
And also, like, I really feel like you get to know the person, the flavor, the personality. Like, I feel like I know you even though I haven't met you. It's going to be great to give you a hug.
Oh, I'm so excited. I give the best hugs. So just be very aware of that. Like, we'll probably hug for 5 minutes and it's fine.
Right? Oh my gosh, it's gonna be so fun. Well, I can't wait to have you come out to LA, and maybe you should even lecture in my course when I do my Mastery of Aesthetics course, because I think I'm gonna do a fun social media panel, and it'd be fun to have some of the sassiness come with you all the way to
I
LA.
Honored, honey. Absolutely. I'll be out anytime on that. Yes.
Yay. Well, I just wanted to say thanks so much for tuning in with us. For those of you who are interested to follow Botox Josh, find him on Instagram at Botox Josh. And any other handles that you have on YouTube, etc.?
There will be Tea Time with Botox Josh coming to YouTube. And then my podcast, you'll see all the announcements from Instagram. So if you go follow there, it'll have links to everything once we announce it.
That's perfect. And that's it for now, everybody. I hope you learned a lot from us. And just remember, you too can stay beautiful, but you got to put in the time. You got to do the maintenance. Follow me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K to see all the amazing things I'm doing with people's faces. And you can also find me on my website at www.beautybydrkdrkay.com. And don't forget to try my amazing skincare line. And I'm going to send you some, Josh. I'm going to send you my lip plumper so you can try that.
Oh, honey, yes, I'm here for it. Yes!
That's it for now. Stay beautiful.